Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, die Bundesliga-Podcast. I'm your host Manuel Feit and hier ist Stefan Bienkowski. Stefan Bienkowski, how's it going?
Yeah, very, very well. I am delighted to be on this show with a fiery passion to finally overtake you in this predictions race.
Of course, we didn't really know, get German football news, who are very kind to always retweet and share our predictions on their homepage. We're keeping score.
they are driving a wedge between us.
They are.
A wolf in sheepskin is Daniel Pinder.
This Daniel Pinder fella, yes. no, it's all very nice. Nice little cooperation that we have with them here. They publish our predictions on their homepage, and we provide them with a little blurb for our game of the week. And apparently, we found out in horror last week that they were keeping score. And currently, I am up 15 to 14, according to our calculations, right?
It looks like it, yeah.
It's close.
It doesn't help that last week we basically picked the exact same predictions for every game.
Yes, and it also doesn't help that, you know, we get a lot of our predictions wrong. So, yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes this match day. And who's going to go have the winning score after this? Of course, it doesn't help that, as I said, we get a lot of our scores wrong. So don't necessarily bet on them. But, yeah, let's jump into our this week's predictions after this break.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events, with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that is BLEAV50, BELIEVE50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on our first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So, Stefan, as I said, no pressure, apparently. First game is the Friday game, Freiburg against Bochum. I went here for a 2-0 Freiburg win. How about you?
I have also gone for a 2-0 win for Freiburg.
You get nowhere with this.
I think your plan for the rest of the season is just to copy my results so I can never actually overtake you. But it doesn't help that you, which is obviously impossible because you went first. But Freiburg, kind of hot and cold a wee bit this season. I was a wee bit disappointed in them against Dortmund, but They bounced back against Stuttgart. They obviously picked up a good result against Augsburg in the first match day. And as we've kind of spoke about recently, Bochum just look like a lead balloon at this moment in time. They're nowhere near the team they were last season. And to go to Freiburg and get a result, I think, is far too much to ask of them right now.
Yeah. We also should probably point out here that we actually don't know each other's results.
No, of course not. No.
Because we usually scribble them down before the show and then we just jump on and we don't actually say anything about how we get there and why, what our thinking is. Yeah. So there's that. But so even if I wanted to, I couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we had checked each other's results before we record and they were all the same, we would probably say, right, we need to change these. So it just goes to show how much we don't prep before the show.
Well, we just don't say that. We do prep something. But I think the next one is your match of the week, Leipzig against Wolfsburg, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously these two historic traditional clubs with two of the most passionate supports in the league just thrown together and will undoubtedly put forth a sensory overload for... You know, our TV view? No, of course not. It's not really one on the calendar for the purists, shall I say. But I do think, at least on the pitch, this should be a really interesting game. Wolfsburg have, you know, they've kind of had a stumbling start to the season. I thought they actually, weirdly enough, the only game they've lost so far is that Bayern game. And I actually didn't think they were that bad in it. So I was quite surprised to see them, you know, get held to a 0-0 draw against Schalke. But I still think there's quite a lot in this team to kind of really push on. I think they're just kind of waiting for something to click into gear. And of course, Leipzig are just an absolute basket case right now. They seem capable of scoring goals, but they also seem just as capable of shooting themselves in the foot at the moment. But having said that, Timo Werner still looks really, really impressive. And you know, I still think there'll be goals in this game. So I've actually gone for a 2-2 draw between these two teams.
All right, so here we differ. I went for Leipzig winning this game 2-1. So we'll see. I guess was right. But I think Leipzig, this is a must win for Leipzig. Obviously, there has been a lot of noise around this club with Minslav apparently heading to the dressing room and speaking to the players without Dominik Tedesco being present. I think there is a lot of noise regarding the sporting director position, but I also think there's going to be noise on deadline day in terms of transfers, which is going to be hugely interesting because I don't think anyone is enjoying the start that they had. And so I think this is, or maybe you're right, maybe this is the sort of environment that provides a team with too much pressure and leads to them actually dropping points here again, right? But imagine that happens, Stefan. I mean, that would be a huge story at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, I probably wouldn't quite put Tedesco top of the next manager to be sacked list just yet. I think probably Bochum have bigger concerns and maybe Hertha. But we're not far off it. And we know that Leipzig are a club who don't mess around when things aren't working well. We saw that with Jesse Marsch last season, who has gone from strength to strength since leaving Leipzig. So, you know, that doesn't really reflect well on Leipzig right now. It doesn't help their fans to think that the previous manager is now doing really well in the Premier League. But yeah, I mean, I'm still not sure we're quite there just yet, just because there's still so many moving parts in the transfer window, as you said. But yeah, I still think they're maybe a bit off winning yet. So, but then again, if it's a draw, then it will keep even more pressure on Tedesco. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, another team hugely under pressure. This is the next game. Mainz against Leverkusen. We do know Simeone isn't going anywhere, right? Gerardo Simeone, the head coach of Leverkusen, is not on the hot seat as of now. But
we should say that's literally our information. It's not official. It's not a press conference or anything that's came out this week. we have been told specifically that they're not looking to replace him.
We also have been told specifically that Callum Hudson-Odoi is going to finally be in the Bundesliga.
So very interesting. And I think that kind of illustrates probably where Leverkusen, where their kind of mind is right now. I think they appreciate the squad isn't quite up to scratch. They're still wheeling and dealing to kind of fill holes in the team. So, you know, they're still a work in progress. I don't think they're placing the blame on the head coach just yet. I think Zona's still got plenty of, not plenty of time, he still has some time. Having said that, I actually think Mainz will win this game. I think they'll probably win it narrowly 1-0, which will not go down well at the Bay Arena. But just looking at both these teams right now, I think it's going to be it's going to be a home win.
Okay, so yeah, I went the opposite direction. I said a 3-0 Leverkusen win.
Oh, mm-hmm. What makes you think that?
I think they have to.
when needs must.
Yeah, it's a must win for them at this stage. If you lose the first five of the season, that's when you really go down a dark path. And I kind of put that in a newsletter around this whole Callum Hudson-Odoi story, right? Which I find hugely fascinating because it was such a Bayern Munich for, I think, two years, not even two transfer windows, 2 years. So four transfer windows tried to get this guy. And then, of course, he had this Achilles injury and he signed a new contract. And even then, it kind of fell apart in one of the transfer windows because Chelsea wanted this like huge obligation to buy option. And then Dortmund were sniffing about, Leipzig were sniffing about. And then finally, it seems to be happening. But it's almost like this rescue anchor for Leverkusen in terms of we need to provide a positive story. And the guy that they originally wanted for this position was Michael Mutrik, and that's not happening for various reasons, right? So I just find this really fascinating. And it kind of shows you, too, that it feels a little bit plans are being thrown overboard.
Yeah. I think a large part of it as well is just look at the performances of Hložek in the first couple of games. He's been thrown in as a starter, which, you know, a large part of this is obviously down to Bellarabi's injuries, but we're talking about a player in Bellarabi who's consistently injured. Unfortunately, he's just one of those players, but Hložek's been thrown in a few times. He hasn't quite kind of hit the ground running, so I think this is probably Leverkusen going back to the drawing board and saying, right, we need even more cover for those wide positions.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if this, I mean, this is obviously once the CHO deal happens, which I think is probably going to be as soon as this weekend. This is something that we're going to cover in more in depth, but I think it's also something that is not the final piece for Leverkusen. But this is a huge match day for them, and it's going to make it a very interesting game to keep an eye on. Stefan, the next game, Hoffenheim against Augsburg. And I have a narrow Hoffenheim win here, 2-1. How about you?
I've got the exact same result. Do you know, Hoffenheim have probably been one of the surprise results for me, or surprise teams for me this season. I really thought they were going to struggle after losing David Raum. But of course, they then brought in Angelino, who's more or less just as good a player, maybe not quite as good, and maybe not as high a ceiling as Raum, but day-to-day terms for Hoffenheim, a very good replacement. They've been absolutely fine for the most part. Obviously, they lost their first game to Gladbach, but they looked absolutely fantastic against Leverkusen. And particularly Reuter, I thought, looked like an outstanding player. Kramaric doing what he does. Baumgartner scores an outrageous back heel. All of a sudden, this team who really dropped off in the second half of the season last year, then sacked their head coach, then lost this fullback, wingback, who was basically their playmaker, and you really feared the worst. And now they're basically playing like the Harlem Globetrotters. So I think they're probably going to pick up a pretty decent win against Augsburg here. I've gone for 2-1 as well, because I don't think Augsburg are really, I don't think they're huge pushovers, but I still think all 3 points for Hoffenheim.
Right. So the next one, and I really struggled here, Hertha against Dortmund. So I'm going to let you do your prediction first, and then I'm going to shock you with mine.
Do you know what? I actually, I think this is going to be a pretty straightforward 2-0 win for Dortmund, to be honest with you. I watched Hertha against Gladbach last week. They were quite good in being direct. You know, they've obviously got Kanga up front. They've obviously got Eduke. They've got Luka Bakio. They've got these guys with plenty of pace, so they can kind of hoof it. And they did get in behind the Gladbach defence quite a lot. Having said that, I thought Itakura, the centre-back at Gladbach, I thought he looked really good alongside Elvedi. But so that could cause Dortmund problems just because that back line seems to be a nightmare at the best of times. But I think we're expecting a few players to come back for Dortmund this weekend. And I think they really should be bouncing back after what happened last week. I just feel like complacency just cannot be an option for them. And I think if they were to lose this game, there'd be some serious question marks, because Hertha are probably the second worst team in the division this year, in my opinion, behind maybe Bochum. So, and it's wouldn't go so far as say it's a must win for Edin Terzic, but I think there'd be some notable boos if they don't win this game.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's going to be quite that straightforward. I've actually gone for a 1-1 draw here. I just don't know. I mean, a lot of it hinges on Gio Reyna could be back in the starting 11, right? Karim Adeyemi could be back in the starting 11. I think if those things happen, then they have probably a good shot of winning this game. But I just have no trust in this team at the moment and in the leadership. And until I'm being proven otherwise, I'm going to go with a prediction that will not favor Dortmund fans. Which of course means now that they're going to probably stomp them 2-0 or 3-0 for now.
No, I could very easily see Dortmund being held to Hertha here, but I think if they do, it will be a serious problem. And Tedesco might not be the only guy looking over his shoulder.
Yeah. All right, so the next game is Schalke against Union Berlin. I've gone for a narrow 2-1 Union Berlin win here. You too, right?
Yeah, I've got 2-1. I think, yeah, look, Union Berlin, I think they've had a great start to the season. Jordan Payfork, who, did you see his tweet earlier on?
Yes, he finally explained to us what he wants to be called.
Yeah, but he didn't. This is the most infuriating thing. He said, Sibachu, Pifok, my name is Theosin Jordan Sibachu. My friends call me Jordy, and my best friend is my mum. That's why I play with Pifok, or Jordan, because she gave me this name and I couldn't put Pifok. It's easier to say Pifok than Sibachu, so now it's up to you.
Yeah, so we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, so he hasn't clarified anything. He didn't clarify at all. But then I did realize that his Twitter account is literally Call Me Pifok. That's like, it's literally what his Twitter handle is, Call Me Pifok. So I think we should maybe call him Pifok.
Yeah, let's call him Pifok.
But yeah, I think I responded to that tweet saying if he keeps doing what he's doing, they'll be calling him the GOAT. So he won't need a name at this rate in Berlin. Yeah, I think Union Berlin look pretty outstanding so far. They've picked up two good results against Hertha, Leipzig, decent draw against Mainz. And, you know, much like Augsburg maybe, I feel like Schalke are certainly no pushovers. They've done well to kind of grind out two draws in the last two games against Wolfsburg and a very decent Gladbach team, I think. So, you know, I don't think this will be an easy game, but on the balance of things, I think Union Berlin have a better team. They got that striker up front doing his thing. So I've gone for 2-1 for Union.
Speaking of a very decent Gladbach side, there is a lot of history here between Bayern Munich and Gladbach. Gladbach tend to win this game quite often, including a 5-0 smashing of Bayern Munich in the second round of the DFB Pokal. And we're talking both teams fielding their first 11. They also won their last game in the Bundesliga, match day 18th in Munich, I have to add, which is, of course, back then was without attendance, but still. So my heart is saying Gladbach could be the first stumbling block here. But my mind is saying Bayern Munich are too strong for anyone, and Bayern Munich are going to win this game 3-0. And this is my match of the week, just because there's so much history here. This is the original Klassiker, right? Mm. These are two teams that in the 70s and the early 80s dominated German football. Both have huge fan bases. But I just don't, you know, my mind is just saying to me, this Bayern team is just way too strong at the moment. And who's going to stop them? And I don't know if Gladbach is going to be that first team that's actually going to put up a decent test. Having said that, they've done it in the past, so I wouldn't be surprised if I was wrong.
Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting game for me. It's actually first versus second, which just kind of goes to show how much Gladbach have kind of flew under the radar so far. Yeah. You know, even though they picked up a very narrow 1-0 win over Hertha, I actually thought they looked really good. And they've kind of picked up, I mean, I know this isn't really kind of anything new because these players have been at the club for some time now, but they've got this front four, obviously, of Plea, Thuram, Neuhaus and Hoffman. And the four of them were just outstanding in the way that they kind of counterattacked and played off one another. They got in behind Hertha's defence, you know, a number of times. I think they had like six shots on target. They should have probably scored a couple more goals. Obviously, Hoffman missed a penalty as well. So I actually think Gladbach have, you know, a really decent front line that can cause problems. Having said that, I still wouldn't really bet against Bayern Munich right now. So I've gone for a high-scoring 3-2 win for Bayern. I don't think it'll be easy. Gladbach always causes them problems, but I think they should be able to do just about enough to get all 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So both go for a win. Results differ a little bit. That takes us... This is obviously also the actual top spiel. It's not only my match of the week. It's also the top spiel of the match day. So this will be the Saturday afternoon game. But now that takes us into the Sunday games. And the first Sunday game is Köln against Stuttgart. I've gone for a narrow 2-1 win for Köln here, based on some penalty that the VAR room in Cologne will give them.
Yeah, so really it's the DFB 2, Stuttgart 1. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to incinerate. I can't talk right now. I don't want to suggest anything right now, but... I mean, Köln are driving the VAR luck train at the moment.
Yeah, they certainly are. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I've gone for a narrow Cologne win as well. I've gone for a 1-0 win. Only because, you know, I think obviously Cologne have done a decent job of kind of grinding their results. That 1-1 draw against Frankfurt last weekend didn't really make me think they had a huge amount. Obviously, they're kind of struggling without Modesta up front, but I also think the Stuttgart team might really struggle as well because their main man, Kaladzic, is at the moment probably negotiating his contract with Wolves and can't really overstate how huge an issue that is for Stuttgart because although he hasn't scored yet, I think this season, he's created the three assists for Stuttgart's three goals from the first three games. Mm-hmm. So I think his head will be turned and I think Cologne will grind out a result against a decent Stuttgart team, but one who quite aren't up to Cologne's level. So I've gone for 1-0 for Cologne.
Yeah, and that was also in the newsletter, right? It looks like Stuttgart already have a replacement sort of in mind with Joshua Zirkzee. Mm. And yeah, as I said, more details in my newsletter on that, and we'll see what happens with Sasha Kalajdzic, whether we're going to see some sort of resolution even before this match day. And I think you're right, that does have a huge impact. The final game then, Bremen hosting Frankfurt. I think this is going to be Frankfurt's coming out party, and they're going to win this game 3-0.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So I've actually gone for a 2-1 win for Bremen. I just think they've actually looked really decent in the first three games. You know, 2-2 draws against Stuttgart and Wolfsburg. And then I thought that result against Dortmund last week was just incredible. They played Dortmund off the pitch and they looked so composed. They looked so well drilled. They know exactly what they're doing. And I think I've now completely changed my mind on Bremen. I think they'll be a comfortable mid-table side the way they're playing right now. And, you know, Frankfurt will be rocking up to that game, Champions League fixtures in the back of their head, and I think they'll probably get quite a shock. So I'm going for a 2-1 win for Bremen.
Oh, excellent. So we'll see. There's a huge potential here that we're going to have some changes in our standings because I think this week we're a little bit different. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I can overtake you.
You might, because I think I have a few in here that I might regret later.
It's always the way.
It's always the way, right? All right, Stefan. Well, as always, this show is brought to you by Bet Online. We'll be back with our usual round of podcasts next week. And until then, auf Wiedersehen.
In Sicht.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.